This is Stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. There's a bipartisan package of bills being considered by the Michigan legislature which would subsidize those homes, businesses, or churches that generate their own electricity using solar power or some other homegrown generation. The big power-generating utilities like Consumers Energy or DTE don't like this at all. They say other ratepayers would end up paying for part of the cost of that renewable energy production. With me now are Representative Gary Glenn, a Republican from Midland, and Jeff Irwin, a Democrat from Ann Arbor, two of the co-sponsors of the bills. Let's start with what these bills would allow. Representative Glenn, would you tell us what they do?
Well, this is a four-bill package. Representative Scott DeAnda, Representative Ed McBroom, so a Democrat and a Republican from the UP, as well as Representative Irwin, who I give credit for being the leader and initiator on this particular package. My bill would allow any group of people, say people who share the same neighborhood, or the Midland County Farm Bureau, bringing in all of the different farms in Midland County, or all the Baptist churches, any group could get together and have collective ownership of a solar array or a windmill farm and be able to sell shares. All we're saying is that other groups of people can do the same thing that utilities can do now and have joint ownership of a solar array, a windmill farm, and benefit from the production of that renewable energy. It's all about energy independence and competition and diversity of our energy supply. We shouldn't put all our eggs in one basket.
But DTE and Consumers Energy have made the point that we'd be paying more for electric generation than it costs the company to produce or buy off the wholesale market unless it's the spot market. So why would an electric power company be forced to pay that higher price?
Well, we're not talking about subsidizing anyone. What Representative Glenn and I and our partners in the legislature have joined up to do is to say, let's develop a fair system. Let's develop a fair market-based system where when someone is generating energy at their home or at their business, which is at the tips of the network, the price of the energy, the amount that they'll be paid for that energy, is a truly market-based price that takes into account not just the wholesale price of energy, but also the other benefits of generation at the tips of the network, capacity benefits, environmental compliance benefits. You don't have all that line loss. And so what we're saying is that if a customer generates electricity at their home and they're generating more electricity than what they need, and DTE or Consumers Power or your municipal authority is going to sell that excess power to your neighbor, that they should pay the person who's generating the power a fair market-based price.
The utilities indicate they need more stability to make plans to build future generation, and they said federal regulations to reduce pollution have already made it difficult for them to plan, and this, they think, will affect their ability further to plan for Michigan energy needs in the future. Representative Glenn, what do you tell DTE and Consumers Energy and the others?
Well, what I would tell them is I think they ought to be happy to be able to do business in an open marketplace like every other business does. Right now, they have a 90% guarantee of market share by law. I mean, what business wouldn't want the law to guarantee them 90% of their particular business? They have complained about sweetheart deals for others. There's no sweetheart deal comparable to having a law passed that gives them 90% of the market. It's almost as if they think we're not capable of looking next door, for example, in direct response to your question about future reliability, to the state of Ohio. In Ohio, there is no guaranteed monopoly share of the marketplace. You have to scrap and compete for every bit of market share you get in that state. And right now, we have six new electricity generating plants being built in Ohio, expected to be online by 2019. Meanwhile, the utilities in Michigan make the argument that unless they have an even higher percentage of the marketplace guaranteed them by law, they can't invest in building a new plant here in Michigan. Haven't built one for decades. Wolverine Power, one of the independent producers, is the only one to build a new plant here in Michigan. They're building it right now up in Elmira. I understand. I don't blame the utilities for acting in the best interests of their stockholders. If you could get the legislature to pass a law giving you 90% of the marketplace for your business, hey, good work if you can get it. But I support competition. The monopoly utilities, of course, are resistant to competition, whether it be from major suppliers like Wolverine Power, or even in this case, folks who want to get together under my bill, as it would make possible, just simply wants to put solar shingles on the top of their buildings and generate electricity at the hottest time of the day when electricity is most valuable on the marketplace, and the utilities get the benefit of getting this electricity they didn't generate and being able to sell it at the hottest time of the day for the highest price, that doesn't amount to any kind of subsidy that I can calculate.
Representative Irwin.
One of the things that Representative Glenn's comment points out is that there's a epic battle in Lansing right now to set the state's next energy policy. And, you know, there are folks on all different sides pointing fingers and talking about who's subsidizing who. But really the question that the legislature has to answer is, what's in the public interest? And what we're saying is that giving residents the freedom and giving business owners the freedom to generate energy at the tips of the network, encouraging home-based generation, encouraging innovation and investment in our state, those are all things that are in the public interest. And so like Representative Glenn, I don't begrudge our partners at the utilities for trying to maximize value for their shareholders, but the legislature's job is to try to make sure that we get the best deal for all the customers here in Michigan.
I want to shift this conversation just a little bit. There's very little bipartisanship in Lansing these days. I think it's fair to say that Representative Irwin, you're one of the more liberal members of the House, and Representative Glenn, you're one of the more conservative members of the House. How is it that you two ended up co-sponsoring of this renewable energy package?
Well, these types of green tea coalitions are cropping up all over the country. And
I'm sorry, did you say green tea?
I did, yeah.
Okay,
And part of the reason is because you've got legislators like myself who are on the left who are looking for a fair shake for customers, you know, that are trying to make sure that everybody has a chance in this economy. And you've got folks on the right who are saying that, look, this is unfair. The deep-pocketed interests come into our state houses and into Washington, D.C., and they buy a result that it's good for their shareholders, and we need to make sure that government is accountable to the people. And both of those interests are well-aligned when you start talking about energy policy and making sure that residents have the freedom to contribute to our energy future.
Representative Glenn, given the climate of the Michigan legislature and politics in general, what do you think this bipartisan legislation says to the voters, the citizens of Michigan?
Well, I have found that I serve on the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee. I don't think anything has passed through that committee that wasn't unanimous, Republican and Democrat. On the Energy Committee, it doesn't break down along partisan lines. It breaks down, honestly, about whether or not you want more competition or whether you support the monopoly system that's supported by the utilities, who, frankly, are in no position to complain about government picking winners and losers when they are the beneficiary of a 90% guarantee of the marketplace under a law passed in 2008. But I've been very pleasantly surprised by what you have observed, Lester. For example, Governor Snyder is going to sign my first bill into law today that would put new limits on civil asset forfeiture. I understand that Representative John Hoadley is going to join me at the bill signing ceremony. It was a bipartisan package. I also introduced a bill restoring the right of a jury trial if you file a lawsuit against the state, which was I was encouraged to do by my local Tea Party, and I've been contacted by the Trial Lawyers Association saying they wanted to support it. So those are at least three different examples where you have conservatives and those who are less than conservative who nonetheless end up at the same place. Jeff and I may approach this energy issue from a different perspective. I understand there are a lot of people who want to promote solar and wind because of concerns about global warming. Honestly, that's not my motivation, but I look at this position in terms of competition and diversity. I think that's good. We're allowing, under this legislation, under this package that Jeff and I've introduced, we're allowing more people to be involved in the generation of electricity, not just the two big utility monopolies. So we're talking about diversification.
What are the chances of this package of renewable net metering bills, the renewable energy bills, getting through the House and the Senate?
Well, as you know, there's a much larger energy conversation, and our hope is that we can convince enough of our colleagues to make energy freedom a part of that conversation. Because you're right, the utilities have been making a very strong argument. They want to kill home-based energy generation, and we've seen that with the introduction of Senate Bill 438, which does just that. It destroys any opportunity for home-based energy generation by picking winners and losers, and the losers that they pick in Senate Bill 438 are home-based energy and solar particularly.
Any chance we'll see this kind of bipartisan cooperation on other issues like, say, roads?
I'm very eager to see a package come forward that Democrats and Republicans can come together on. Obviously, on our side of the aisle, we don't get to control what gets voted on, but I can see a whole number of paths towards a road solution that would make sense.
Representative Glenn, you get the last word.
you know, we may have a divergence. I mean, you don't even have all Republicans agreeing when it comes to road funding. I voted for $400 million in new spending for roads. That's part of the budget that just went into effect October 1st. About 2 months ago, the House passed a package that spent an additional $1 billion on roads and a very small, I think it was only $38 million tax increase. I voted for the spending from our existing funds and voted against the tax increase, but both passed, and that wasn't acceptable to the Senate or to the governor. So we're still looking to find that balance between the demands for even higher taxes by the Senate and the governor. The House, I think, is taking the conservative posture.
That's Representative Gary Glenn, and we also heard from Representative Jeff Irwin, legislators on opposite sides of the aisle who co-sponsored a package of bills to protect renewable energy producers, such as homeowners who install rooftop solar. Gentlemen, thanks for talking with me.
Yep. Thanks for having us on.
Hey, appreciate it.